All right. Now, I usually say this. If you don't like what I preach and say tonight, I'll tell you what you do. You tell the Lord. If you don't like it, you tell the Lord. If you do like it, tell the pastor, amen. And maybe he'll let me come back again sometime and preach again, amen. Praise the good Lord, amen. Well, smile a while and give your face a rest. Amen. You know, it don't hurt to smile a little bit once in a while, does it? Most people look better smiling when they're not smiling, amen. But you've heard of Billy Graham. And you know what? I would really love to meet that man. I would really love to shook his hand. Amen. Billy Graham. And I read a book about him. Most amazing thing I think I've ever read in my life. Amen. I was carried away with it. I just couldn't put it down. I read it two or three times. But they said one time years ago, Billy Graham was preaching a revival in a town, and he needed to go to the post office and didn't know where the post office was. So he said to a man, he said, "Sir, can you tell me where the post office is?" He said, "Yes, sir." So he told Billy Graham how to go to the post office. Billy Graham said, "I'm preaching in the Baptist church here tonight. I'm going to be telling people how to go to heaven." And he said, "If you'll come, I'll tell you the way to heaven, how to get to heaven." He said, "Well, I don't think I'll be there." "I don't think I'll be there." He said, "If you don't know the way to the post office, I don't think you can tell me the way to heaven, amen." All right. So much for that tonight, amen. Praise the good Lord, amen. All right, I want to try to preach to you for a while tonight from the Word of God, and I'm going to try to be as brief as I can. I'm going to read over here in the book of 1 Thessalonians tonight, if you have a Bible. And that's going to be in 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 4. And I'm going to read some familiar scripture tonight here on the subject that I'm going to be preaching about tonight in the house of God. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13 and following. The Bible says, Paul said, "But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren." I'll tell you what, we've got a lot of Bible ignorance in this day we live in. But Paul said, "I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concern them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." You pray for us and pray for yourself, and we bow in a word of prayer tonight. Our Father, we're grateful tonight for the blessing and the goodness of God and the service tonight, and being able to be here and the pastor letting me come and preach. And dear Lord, I need you tonight. I'm nothing without you. I can't preach without you. I need the help of God. I pray for every saved person that's here tonight in this service. I pray they may feel the touch of God, or they might know that the Lord's in their presence tonight. Pray for them that may be here that's lost. I pray, Lord, they might experience the presence of God. You'd show them their need of Christ. And Lord, if they're lost, I pray they get saved tonight by the grace of God. Have your way tonight, dear Lord Jesus. And I pray we'd not hold back and hold out on God. We'd obey the Lord and please the Lord tonight. As you speak to us, help us to listen to you and obey you tonight in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake, we pray and ask it all. Amen. I want to preach tonight for a while by the help of the Lord on this subject. On this subject tonight, I want to preach about the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church. Now, I believe that's what he's talking about here in these verses that I read tonight. And I could have used a lot of other scriptures, I guess, to preach about the rapture of the church. This scripture here tells us, beloved friend, who is coming. It's the Lord. This scripture I read tells us who's coming. And then, beloved friend, he tells us why he's a-coming in that scripture I read tonight. And tells us how he's a-coming. The scripture I read tonight does not, however, tell us, beloved friend, when he's coming. The Lord can come at any moment, amen. He could come tonight before we get out of here, amen. And the word rapture, you know, is not found in the Bible. It's not found in the Bible. But the meaning of it, beloved friend, is found in the Word of God. And that means to be caught up and to be caught out. Amen. Snatched away. The rapture is many times referred to as a second coming. And I want you to see that tonight. It is referred to as a second coming of Christ. Amen. Listen tonight. The rapture is not the second coming of Christ. It is not. Amen. And if there is a second coming, and there is, if there's a second coming, then, my friend, there's got to be a first coming. Now, when was the first coming? The first coming was when he was conceived in the virgin's womb and born of the Virgin Mary, amen. And that is the first coming, amen. Now, the second coming is what we call the revelation of his coming, amen. And this coming, beloved friend, is, of course, at the end of the 7 years of tribulation, amen. And this coming is spoken of in the Scriptures, amen. And this is when he comes to the earth, according to Zechariah 14, verses 4 and 5, amen. The Bible says that. And when he comes in the revelation of his coming, the Bible says every eye is going to see him. Amen. That's in Zechariah 13, verses 6 and 7. And when he comes in the rapture, listen, only the saved are going to see him. Amen. And only the saved will see him when he comes. Amen. Because it's going to be a sudden and a secret coming. Now listen, many Old Testament scriptures speak today, friend, of his revelation. The rapture is the next thing, I believe, on God's prophetic calendar, amen. And I say this night, I do not believe, friend, that there's not one scripture that must be and needs to be fulfilled, and I don't believe there's any one thing got to happen before the rapture can come, take place. The Lord can come at any moment. And we sing about it, we talk about it, we preach about it. And I think that's all right, but listen, the truth is the Bible nowhere says that Jesus is going to come soon. Don't say that. That's all right to believe that. It's all right to preach that, to sing about that. We ought to, it's good to believe that he's coming, going to come soon. But the Bible does not say, beloved friend, that he's going to be coming soon. Amen. And we need to see that and understand that night. Now, the rapture is very important. Amen. And, to us today, and it's a very serious subject in the New Testament. Amen. Now listen, it is said, and I believe this is right, they say that there's one verse out of Ezekiel 25 in the New Testament speak about the Lord's coming. I do know this night, five chapters are in 1 Thessalonians. And all five of those chapters, every last one of them, speak of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Christ himself spoke, often of his coming and warned people to watch and be ready for his coming. Listen, I want you to get this tonight. There are no signs pointing to the rapture. None. No signs pointing to the rapture. Amen. Listen, all signs, beloved friends, speak of the Lord's coming. They have to do with the revelation of his coming. Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25 and other scriptures speak about the revelation of the Lord's coming. And in the rapture is a sudden and a secret coming. The Bible says he comes like a thief. Now, he's not a thief. But the Bible says he comes as a thief. Now listen, if a thief is going to come to your house one night, he's not going to call you on the telephone and tell you when he's going to be there. He's not going to write you a letter or send you a telegram and tell you when he's going to come. Amen. And that's what it is with the Lord's coming. Amen. And only the saved, beloved friend, when the Lord comes, only the saved are going to be taken out of this world, and all the unsaved will be left in the world to enter into and go through what we call the tribulation. Amen. Now, the rapture will bring about, we might say, the 7 years of tribulation. 7 years. Now, the Lord said, talking about the tribulation, he said, except those days should be shortened, there will be no flesh saved. Now, how much is going to be shortened? I don't know. It's going to be a little bit less, though, than 7 years from what the Lord said. Amen. Listen, if a man gets up to preach, and he says, I'm going to preach about the second coming. And in doing so, you know what he does? He preaches about the rapture. And in doing that, he applies the signs to the rapture. But I'm telling you again tonight, friend, there are no signs pointing to the rapture. Amen. The signs on up in the Bible are pointing to the time when he comes at the end of the tribulation, what's called the revelation of the coming of the Lord. Amen. And so the saved will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And thank the Lord today for that, beloved. But you know what? The wicked, beloved friend, will be left here in this world. And I know when the Lord comes in rapture, he's going to bring about the judgment seat of Christ. And that's going to be for the saints, where only the saved are going to be judged. Amen. And I just might put this in right here while I'm thinking about it. You know, of all the judgments spoken of in the Bible, and I could name them tonight, but I'm not going to do that. But all the judgments spoken of in the Bible, listen, not one of those judgments, beloved friend, are held to determine whether the people at those judgments are saved or not. All those judgments, beloved friend, are spoken of as judgment of our works. God going to judge our works, the saved and the unsaved. Amen. Let me mention this tonight. What will take place, what will occur, beloved friend, when the rapture occurs? Amen. Well, let me give you a few thoughts about that tonight. First of all, the Bible says the dead saints will be raised. Praise God today for that. Amen. You notice Old Testament saints, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:13 that the Old Testament saints, they died in faith. Saved. Died in the faith. Hebrews says that in chapter 11:13. Listen, the New Testament saints, beloved friend, the Bible says here in the scripture I read in verse 14, listen what he said. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And so I'm saying to us tonight, friend, that the Old Testament saints, they died in faith. New Testament saints, beloved friend, they die in the Lord. They die in Christ. Praise God today for that. And my friend, they will be raised with a glorified body. You know, I read in the Bible, and I didn't understand that for some time. But I read where the Bible says that Christ was the first to rise from the dead. Now, the Bible says that, doesn't it? The Bible says that. He was the first to rise from the dead. But reading the Bible, I read in the Bible where there were others that were raised from the dead before Christ was raised from the dead. Amen. But you know what it means when Christ was the first to rise from the dead? It means this. He was the first to rise from the dead with a glorified body. Amen. That's the way that it was. Amen. And I thank the good Lord today for that. The Bible says back here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, I turn back here and read a little bit right here in this portion of the Word of God today. And down here in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, and I read a verse or two right here. This is what he says here. He says down here in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. Amen. And maybe you know what a mystery in the Bible is. There are a lot of mysteries spoken of in the Bible. But he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That's talking about the saved in this church age. We'll not all die. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I'm glad for that, aren't you? In a moment, we'll be changed. The Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, he said, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, said the Word of God. Now listen, I am in no hurry to die. Are you? I'm no hurry to die. I feel well. I don't have no pain, no sickness, and God's been good to me. And so I'm no hurry to die. Amen. But I do know this night, I will die one day if the Lord doesn't come before I leave this old troubled world. Amen. And I like living down here. We have a lot of troubles and problems. Man that's born a woman is a few days full of troubles. And listen, everybody's born this world, you're going to have some trouble. There's no way to get around that. No way to avoid that. Amen. And so you just well look for that. All kinds of troubles in this world, friend, that we have as a people of God and as saved people. But I'm glad, thank God, one day we're going to be changed. And you know what? There are a lot of people tonight, saved people, and they have serious sicknesses. They have heart problems, dying of heart, and they say that heart attack is the number one killer today, and the second is cancer. I know some good men and women today, preachers and preachers' wives, that they have cancer. Some of them got brain cancer, all that sort of thing, and they suffer day and night. Other people don't have a well day in all of their life, and thank God it's not always going to be that way. All the shame and the sin and the sorrow, it's going to be taken away. I praise God today for that. And so the dead saints are going to be raised. Amen. Listen, you know what? 10 years ago, this past November, my house burned. It was a total loss. I lost everything. I mean everything. All that I had was the clothes I had at home. I lost my wife in that house. Amen. And that was a great difficulty and a hardship for me. Amen. Amen. But, you know, I'm glad, and listen, that morning that she dies on a Monday morning, and she died in the house fire. And you know what? I didn't even get to tell her goodbye that day. Amen. But thank God, I'm telling you, dear friend, one day, thank God, we can say good morning on the other side. I praise God today for that. Amen. And let us understand tonight, friend, that the dead saints will be raised. Praise God. That loved one of yours that you stood by their bedside, held their hand, you saw them as they drew their last breath and the heart beat for the last time, and they closed their eyes in death, and you bid them farewell. But thank God they were saved and you're saved, and one day, praise the good Lord, we'll see them again on the other side. Amen. I thank God today for that. Amen. Listen, and then, beloved, tonight, when the Lord comes in the rapture, the dead saints will be raised, but listen, the living saints will be changed. Be changed. I mentioned that a while ago there in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 52. We should be changed and come forth with a glorified body like the Lord Jesus Christ had when he was raised from the dead. Have a glorified body. Praise the good Lord today for that. And then the living unsaved will be left behind. Now, I don't know. It may be tonight, probably not so, but it could be so tonight. Everyone here in this service, you're saved. I hope you are. I hope you are. And that's wonderful. But probably there's at least somebody here tonight in this service, and you're lost. You've never been saved. You don't know the Lord. Listen, if the Lord would come in the rapture tonight, the trumpet would sound. All the saved people would leave this sin-cursed, troubled world, would rise to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. But you know what? If there's one lost person here tonight, you'd be left here in this building all alone by yourself. And you, beloved friend, then would enter into and go through the great tribulation. Amen. So the living unsaved will be left, amen, in the world. Amen. And there it is true tonight that some will be saved during the tribulation. Others will be eternally lost, amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. Tells us, friends, about that. Amen. If you're here tonight, listen, if you're here tonight and you're unsaved and the Lord come tonight in the rapture, you'd be left here in this world. You know what? You would not be saved. You would have no opportunity to be saved. You'd believe the lie, and that's believing the lie of the Antichrist, and you'd be forever lost. You would have sealed your doom, beloved friend, and die lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, the rapture, beloved, will bring about what we call the man of sin, the man of sin. And he's called, you know what he's called? He's called the son of perdition. Now, isn't that right? Amen. Now, the question is this. Who is that one that's called the son of perdition and that one we call the Antichrist? Who is that? Well, I will say this tonight, beloved friend. Whoever he is, he'll not be revealed until after the rapture of the saints of God. I'm glad tonight for that. Amen. And, depending on who he is, he may be on the earth tonight. Amen. And, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I probably ought to read a little bit right there tonight, here in the Word of God tonight, see what the Bible says here in this portion of the Word of God, over here in 2 Thessalonians in chapter number 2 and verse number 3 and verse number 4. Listen to what he's saying right here in verses 3 and 4. He said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin, they're talking about the Antichrist, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, that's what he's called. Verse number 4 says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, he says, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Look at verse number 8. The Bible said, and then shall that wicked be revealed, that's Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness of them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be damned, said the word of God. Verse number 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had had pleasure, the Bible says, in unrighteousness. Amen. You know what? When the rapture takes place, the tribulation will begin and be all about for 7 years. When the tribulation is over, thank God, we'll be coming back with Christ. Amen. And he'll put down all power and all rule and all authority. Amen. And he'll reign upon this earth for 1,000 years. Amen. I believe that. And you know what? The rapture will find many unready and unprepared to meet the Lord. Now listen, I said a while ago, who is Antichrist? Well, there are some good men, and here's what they say. They say the Antichrist is an Assyrian Jew. I do believe that whoever it is, he's going to be a Jew, because I don't think that the Jewish people would accept him as their Messiah unless he was a Jew. But they said he's going to be an Assyrian Jew. Now, if that is so, he could be on this earth tonight. But we don't know who it is. And then there are some other good men I know. I mean some real good Bible men. And you know what they say? They say that the Antichrist is going to be Judas Iscariot. I'm going to tell you this. The Bible says some things about Judas Iscariot that's never said about anyone else. He is called the son of perdition. And he died, the Bible says, and committed suicide, and died and went to his own place, said the word of God. Amen. So the rapture will find many unready and unprepared. Amen. And when the Lord comes, we are. You know what we're to do? We're to work for the Lord. We're to wait for the Lord, and we're to watch and be ready for his coming. Listen, tonight, he could come at any given moment. And listen, the question is this, tonight, are you ready? That's the important thing. Listen, if you are here tonight in this service and you, friends, you're not saved, you're not ready. There's no way you can be ready if you're lost. Amen. And listen, how can you be ready if you're not saved? You do not want the Lord to come and find you like you are lost without God. Listen, if you are saved tonight, if you're saved tonight, you know, you may not be ready either. If you're saved tonight, you're going to heaven. Amen. You're going to heaven when the Lord comes, when you leave this world. But that doesn't mean, friend, that you're ready like you ought to be ready about everything. If you're saved, you may not be ready. You will go to heaven because you're saved and born again. Amen. And all of that. And listen here what the Bible says over here in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 12. Chapter number 5, verse number 12. I want you to get this right here. Listen to what he says. This is a very good and simple verse. He says, he that hath the Son hath life. That's simple, isn't it? He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not, the Son of God hath not life. Listen, hey, everyone, you're in this service tonight, either you have the Lord or you don't have him. Amen. Listen, if you're saved tonight, then you have him. If you're not saved, you don't have him. But if you're here tonight and you have him, listen, I want to ask you this as a saved person. While you have him, does he have you? Does he have you? Amen. And that's important tonight, beloved friend. That's very, very important. Amen. And so you need to see that and understand that tonight. Amen. And listen, you know, Paul said, and here in, I got to give you this right here tonight. I want to bear this home tonight if I can by the help of God. And back over here in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. I want you to see what Paul says over here tonight. First Thessalonians, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let me read beginning verse number 6. Listen to it. Paul said, for I am now ready. I want you to get that, will you? Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Now, here's what I want to say tonight, friend. Here in these verses, Paul said, I am now ready. And I tell you what I believe. I believe Paul got ready in Acts chapter number 9 on the road to Damascus. Amen. I believe he got saved and he got born again that day. Amen. And when he got saved that day, from then until he said what he did, I just read right here. All that time, he stayed ready. What I'm saying tonight, he did not need to do one thing, not one single thing, to be ready for the Lord to come. He said, I'm now ready. I am now ready. Listen tonight, dear friend, that means this. We need to be sure tonight, friend, that we can say with Paul that I'm ready. That I'm ready. The Lord's coming. Are you ready? I wonder not how many could honestly from your heart, be honest about it. From your heart, you could say, Brother Hardin, I can say with Paul the Apostle, I'm now ready. There's not anything I need to do to get ready. I got it all fixed up. But without doubt, there are people in this service tonight, and you're saved, you're going to heaven. But there are some things in your life now that's not right with God. You're not living the way you ought to live, and you're not doing what you ought to be doing. Amen. And you, hey, the truth is, you don't want the Lord to come and find you like you are right now. Thank God, it doesn't have to be that way. If you're not ready now, thank God you can get ready tonight. I'm glad for that, aren't you? You can get ready tonight. Amen, because God is willing and ready to save. I praise God today for that. Listen, when the rapture takes place, friend, let me say this to you. You know, when the rapture takes place, there's going to be a reunion. Amen. Now, you know, people have what they call family reunion. All the families come in, amen. And you know, churches sometimes, they have what they call Memorial Day or a union or whatever, and they all come in, amen. All of them come in. And they see one another. See one another they haven't seen in a long time. And they're glad to be together again and talk together again and rejoice and fellowship and have a good time together. And thank God there's going to be a reunion. Amen. I mentioned a while ago that morning, Monday morning, when my wife lost her life in that house fire. I didn't even get to tell her goodbye that day. But one day, when I get to heaven, thank the good Lord, it won't be goodbye, it'll be good morning. Amen. And you're going to be reunited with those loved ones of yours that have gone on. Maybe a father, a mother, a son, or a daughter. And you'll be be a reunion with them. And the Bible said that in Scripture I read a while ago, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 18. And then there's going to be some rejoicing. Praise God. There's going to be some rejoicing when the Lord comes. I praise God for that. But wait a minute. That's not all. There's also going to be some rewards. The Lord's going to reward us. Our service and our work for the Lord. Listen. When the Lord comes, there are not going to be some reunion, a reunion and rejoicing and reward, but there are going to be some regrets. There are going to be some regrets. We're going to regret, beloved friend, we did not do more, and regret what we could have done and did not do, and what we should have done and what had for us to do, but we didn't do it. Amen. What about you? So I'm asking you this question tonight, dear man, a woman, boy, or girl, for those of you tonight that's in service and you're saved and you know the Lord tonight. Can you say with Paul the Apostle, be honest about it, I'm now ready. There's not one thing that I need to do to be ready for the Lord to come. It's all taken care of. Without a doubt tonight, there are folks here that are saved and there's things in your life not right. You're not doing like you ought. You may be cold in your heart. You may be disobedient to the Lord. Hey, you don't want the Lord to come to find you that way. It doesn't have to be that way. Thank God if you're not ready right now, you can get ready tonight. And then you can say with Paul, I am now ready. And I'm not going to beg you tonight now. I'm not going to beg you. I'm going to take a long time. Amen. But listen, if you're saved and God's spoken in your heart tonight, and you need to come down here this altar tonight and talk with the Lord and get things straightened out, If you're saved, things not right in your heart, why don't you come and let God help you about it tonight? Amen. Be honest about it tonight. Amen. And I'm not judging tonight. I'm not being critical, but I kind of got a problem believing that everybody in this service tonight that's saved, that you're ready for the Lord to come right now. I believe there are probably some of you that's really not ready, even though you're saved. You ought to come tonight. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't put it off. Come tonight. And listen, if you're here tonight and you're lost, why don't you come and let the Lord save you tonight? God is able to save you. Pastor, I'm finished. God bless you.